Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. The future of almost everything on the upswing. As always, every Thursday, analysis on local and national business issues, insights in technology, community trends, takes, important news you can use. What's on the slate today? How about some new towers in downtown? Is X back? How do we better leverage our city's conventions and conferences? What do we do about Airbnbs in our city and maybe your city? Had some interesting conversations last night around this topic. What's up with Apple TV? And there's a changing of the barbecue guard at the Milwaukee Public Market. So we'll be joined later in the show by the executive director at the Milwaukee Public Market, Paul Schwartz, will join. But here today, Steve Glenn, Martin Moore. Gentlemen.
My goodness, it feels good to be back.
We're back.
I feel like it's been forever.
Yes.
Between me being gone for Quebec and then the RNC.
A little RNC break.
It feels good to be back with you boys.
I missed you guys.
With you fellas.
Yes.
It is in good. This place at this time.
Always
on this
good
day.
To be back. All right. The WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. First up, the last time we spoke, we talked about the Marcus Center's cash needs. There's always more to the story, always more going on behind the scenes. We knew the Marcus Center's plans to redevelop its parking garage were moving forward. Yesterday, the plans emerged that could bring a $700 million development to the parking garage site. If you're familiar with downtown Milwaukee, it's right on the corner of Water Street and State Street, a parcel that's Water, State, Edison, and Highland. Old parking garage that Marcus Center's looked at for years to redevelop. Renderings from the Madison-based developer that's been selected for the project, the Neutral Project, show three high-rise buildings, 750 apartments, a hotel. One could be the tallest mass timber building in the world.
Didn't we used to have that?
We used to have that.
New land
development at the Ascent. Yep. And also proposing what could be the tallest building in the state of Wisconsin. What's your thoughts on just development in this area? Steve, I know it's not too far from the MISO offices
yeah,
for you.
I love it. I love to see these new things happening, new energy, new people coming downtown and hanging out, and all these bars and restaurants and arts groups like ours need it.
Very good. Yeah, it's right, and it really kind of builds this bridge, if you will, between like central downtown and the north side of downtown, and with Water Street being reimagined by the city too, I think there's a really good need for more retail, more hotel space, more office space, and obviously more residential.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's an underutilized space today.
Yeah,
it's very convenient for going to events around there, but to make it even better would be great for the city.
Yeah, what is downtown ready for more? Middle high-end apartments.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All we have is luxury apartments right now. Like you're a loser if you're not paying $4,500 bucks a month for rent. Yeah, we definitely need some more affordable housing in the city and the outskirts of the city, because downtown, a lot of people say, well, why do we invest all this money into downtown Milwaukee? What about all the rest of these areas, which we absolutely need to be investing money in? But, you know, downtown is where people come to work. They come to dine. It's where a lot of the tax revenue comes from. And so creating housing is absolutely necessary because it gets people closer and more access to jobs and events and participating in all the things that the city does. I forgot where I was going with
creating
that.
More density
is absolutely
needed in any community, and I think that's the city's objective here. There has been a little bit of the Business Journal's reporting after the announcement, kind of less than an hour after the announcement, New Land Enterprises told the city it was withdrawing its proposal, citing an opaque and misleading RFP process. I'm going to talk to Tim Gockman from New Land Enterprises tomorrow on the show.
Ooh.
Obviously, he's invested their company has done a ton for downtown. Yes, was part of the process as Crossroads Collectives and other developments. So it'll be interesting to hear Tim's perspective. But that said, a new development for downtown. We got a year to get all the financing together and move it forward. But it's good to see Milwaukee continuing to move forward.
I'm here for it. The opposite is not ideal, so.
That is very true. That is very true. All right, next, tighter Airbnb controls. Are they coming to our city? This is The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing. It's my house. I'm not living in it, but I should be able to rent it, right? Well, not so fast. The future of Airbnb in Milwaukee and all markets is, hey, it's an entrepreneurial journey for sure. But this, according to JS Online from yesterday, the city is proposing a one-year exclusive right to negotiate and look at development times to secure additional kind of boundaries around Airbnbs. So if you don't own the property, you may not be able to rent it out. Getting complaints in certain neighborhoods that, hey, there's too much noise, there isn't enough guardrails around it, the owner should be available. But often people come into neighborhoods, purchase homes, purchase apartment buildings, and Airbnb them out. So you look at Madison, you look at a lot of other markets putting guardrails and controls around Airbnb. Should this come to Milwaukee? What do you think, Martin?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So when we went to Hawaii last year, they had already started implementing some super strict Airbnb rules. Certain zones, certain areas were just completely off limits. You had to own the house, similar to sort of this proposal. Because what was happening in Hawaii was there were so many companies overseas purchasing homes that there was no inventory for people that actually lived there. Millennials and people that wanted to be homeowners, there just wasn't anything there because they were gobbled up and flipped into Airbnbs. So that's one problem. A second problem is when you buy a house, part of buying a house, especially in like a desired neighborhood, is getting to know your neighbors and that whole experience of being in a neighbor and in a community. And when you have, you know, frat boys drinking and throwing footballs and girls yelling and screaming and people coming and going and trash and just maybe
kids.
Some not upkeep, yeah, whatever it may be, you know, you feel like you're at a resort. You don't feel like you're in a home and in a neighborhood and in a community, and that's a problem. You know, you buy a house to get away from that, not to get back in it.
And right now, Milwaukee's regulations already restrict larger buildings from leasing more than four units without securing a hotel license.
Yeah.
So now the council and the mayor's office is going to look at, hey, let's reopen the file and let's see, should there be tighter regulations requiring property owners to live in the properties that they're leasing.
Here's another problem I have with the entire Airbnb boom is, and you guys know all this, the flipping situation. You're getting so many houses, especially older houses that have really good bones, you know, built in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, being flipped with builder-grade materials from Home Depot by the homeowners themselves doing poor jobs. And we've seen this and heard the horror stories. And we're going to have a whole generation of houses that are built like junk and aren't going to last the way that they used to because they've been flipped with cheap materials, garbage labor, just so that they can be Airbnb'd out. And so that's going to be a problem as well that I don't think is actually talked about very often.
And you want to maintain neighborhood safety, neighborhood cohesion.
Absolutely.
A lot of communities have specific rules that mandate minimum rental periods, require the owner to be present during the rental periods. But at the same time, it's an entrepreneurial world we live in, right?
Sure.
So we can buy homes and lease them as we may, right?
Right now you can, but just like any new thing, just like Uber or AI, we get ahead of any sort of regulation, and it's just the Wild West, and we have to sort of pull things back and bring things into perspective because all this stuff inevitably creates problems that have to be solved. It has to be streamlined so that, you know, we don't have neighborhoods just filled with all these tiny little hotels and you know, something has to be done because these are people's houses, you know,
And it's talking to a couple of aldermen last night, I think they're looking at putting in additional processes so that the city can have guardrails around this, but you also have to balance the benefits, right? You have to balance the benefits of additional income, community harmony, with the challenges of renting property, and then adhering to local regulations. Right. That's what government, that's what the process does. And I think we got to be open to it, because the reality is that you want some restrictions around rentals so that we have, there's ramifications for those that aren't following the rules.
Right.
Like the people that egged my house when I first moved into my neighborhood because it was a rental and they didn't care.
Nice.
Very good. All right. We will keep an eye on further Airbnb regulations in the city of Milwaukee as we move forward. Coming up next, let's pivot a little bit to social media and the fact that I think is kind of an undercovered story, that President Biden used X to announce the fact that he wasn't seeking re-election. We'll discuss that and much more. This is The Upswing, the future of almost everything. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, join us this beautiful Thursday here in downtown Milwaukee. So let's pivot a bit to the business of social media, ever-changing platforms and positioning for sure. But I'm still kind of amazed. Amazed might be a strong word, but the fact that President Biden used Twitter, now X, to announce the fact that he wasn't seeking re-election, I think is a bit of an undercovered and under-discussed story. I mean, the business angle here, I think, is that more leaders and CEOs need to truly embrace social and their authentic real selves, because it's the one place where you can control the message. But President Biden didn't go to CNN. He didn't go to MSNBC. He didn't go to the New York Times first. Because he knew, hey, I'm going to position on a platform that maybe people are thinking is leaning one way or the other right now. Yep. I'm going to get my message out the way I want to, and let's let the world dissect. What are your thoughts, Steve? This is your space.
It's so fascinating to me because he used a platform on which someone who owns it is giving a lot of support in the other direction.
Yes.
And he did use a non-mainstream media, sort of non-TV media to do it.
Right.
It's all, I can't decipher right now. My brain is scrambled on the decision. Like, and he had nothing really to gain or lose, right? Because he was just announcing he's done.
Right. Right. I mean, I think, obviously, I've said for years, social media is media. Like, it is traditional media now. But still the positioning of, you know, an older president using that platform to make a significant worldwide announcement I think it will have a little bit of a trickle-down effect to get more leaders onto the platform, not necessarily using their marketing teams or their social teams, but saying, hey, I have a big opportunity, no matter what the platform is, to get my message out directly.
And I think a lot of people, Martin, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of people see X as sort of a news interaction platform.
Primarily. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, Elon always touts the fact that X is the largest news, whatever, network's not the word, but people get their news from X over anything else, Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, a carrier pigeon, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
X.
And they engage about the news more and with news figures more on that platform.
The reason why it's so advantageous for someone like Biden or any leader to sort of release statements and information and use X as a vessel to communicate with American people is because watch the news. Most of the news that you're seeing on old school TV is coming from probably X, videos on X or something.
Right.
And so
what's
breaking on X. It used to be back in the day you would hear breaking news first from news stations. They would get it because they were on the field or there was someone there or someone sent them a video clip. Now they're getting their news from Reddit, from Twitter and X and from all these social media platforms. So it makes sense that you would use that the same way and your message would first come out on that platform.
Yeah. And that strategy totally makes sense to me.
Yeah.
the political part of it, the political strategy is what is fascinating to me.
Yeah. Well, and when you go to the business angle here, do you encourage more CEOs and leaders to use the platforms? What do you hear in there? Because I think there's still a little bit of reluctance, even posting on the business platform, which is LinkedIn.
I think my biggest problem with that would be the comments section and Elon's inability still to combat bots and spam and allow users to decipher what's real or what's not. There's community notes, which works really, really well unless you're Elon and then you have them removed on your own posts. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. But it's still inundated with bots and spam, and you can buy a verification little check marks. And so it's hard for the average person to, you know, decipher things in the comments section. So I would be reluctant as a CEO or an owner or a leader to sort of use the platform when I can't really control what's being said or shared underneath because it could not be real.
Yeah. Are there any tips or tricks that you would suggest to leaders when they're kind of first going to a platform?
Be ready for the comments.
Be authentic.
Yeah.
Be authentic.
You have to have a thick skin to be on social media because you're never going to please anybody.
No.
I get comments all the time on my Twitter, not that I'm a world leader, but you have to have a thick skin. Not everyone's going to like you, and that's okay. And you have to be okay with hearing people say sometimes not the nicest things about you.
Yeah.
And that would be my advice anytime you're going on social media and doing that kind of stuff.
All right. When we come back from the break, let's talk about the future of conventions and how to amplify them in our market. Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, join us on this Thursday. Whenever there's Apple news, I'm like, all right, I need Martin's take and perspective. Bloomberg reporting this week, Apple TV Plus has a little bit of a challenge and a problem on its hand. It's spending an absolute ton of money on shows that not a lot of people are watching, although I'd argue are hitting their core audience and amplifying their other projects. But they've spent more than $20 billion just to get 0.2% of the U.S. streaming audience. What are your thoughts, Martin, on the future
of
Apple TV Plus? I'm a fan. I really enjoy the programming. Sure. I've watched a lot of the shows.
That's a drop in the bucket.
But
for Apple. Ooh. So here's one thing that Apple has is sort of leverage in a business sense over many other companies. They're a multi-trillion dollar company. They can take a loss selling something like Apple TV Plus and spending that kind of money. They can take a loss selling, you look at something like Adobe, and it's a subscription you have to pay it every year for the rest of eternity. Whereas like a lot of their apps and programs like Final Cut Pro and Logic, you pay $500, $300, you own it for life. Apple takes a loss at those so that they can sell you an Apple TV and the next Apple TV and the next iPhone and iPad and MacBook to consume that television, to consume those apps. And so that's sort of their business model. The success of Apple isn't predicated on the success of Apple TV Plus the way that Netflix's success is. You know, if Netflix had their own TV that could only run Netflix, they could sell Netflix and take a loss on it if they were making boatloads of money on TVs.
And the hardware.
And hardware the way that Apple is. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't really concern me that Apple is losing money because it's not really going to affect their bottom line. All it's going to do is sell more Apple TVs, more iPhones, more iPads to consume these shows.
It's a creative marketing vehicle, right?
It is. Yeah, Apple's been doing this since day one. You know, this was sort of an ethos and a mantra of Steve Jobs. And so I'm not so concerned about them, but when you look at companies like Disney who are blowing, what was it, $150 million on The Acolyte and what Netflix is paying for some of these shows to sort of keep pace, they can bleed very, very quickly in a way that Apple cannot.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point.
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Hey, yeah, there kidding. That is insightful analysis right there on the future of Apple TV. So, Steve and Martin, a lot going on convention-wise this weekend in Milwaukee, obviously. Harley-Davidson Homecoming, Northwestern Mutual's agent meeting, all the agents just left town on Tuesday. How do we as a community continue to leverage the convention business that we have and create even more space, given maybe the future of conventions, we don't quite know where it's going. Is it all going back to in person?
It looks like it, yeah.
It surely does.
I mean, these are great springboards and case studies for why bigger, better, stronger, all these conventions should choose Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And they've got the right team over there at the Visit Milwaukee, bringing these places, these people in.
Yeah, they do.
Very good. All right. Well, it's going to be great this weekend. Action-packed for sure. The city will be alive, and with more people visiting, more opportunities for people to say, all right, I have this association in this market. I'm going to come back to Milwaukee with my association's meeting next year. How it all goes.
What I love about homecoming and Harley's homecoming this week or weekend is it's taking place all over the city.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have done a great job to engage and embrace and include a number of organizations.
Yeah. We talked to Sherry Black from the Wisconsin State Fair yesterday, and you know, that was one of her points. It's just the engagement of State Fair and how welcoming it is to the entire neighborhood, entrepreneurs, parking cars on the lots and the lots. Yeah. So, I mean, having that kind of expansion mentality, I think, is truly important to the community.
Right on.
All right. Next up, Paul Schwartz is the executive director of the Milwaukee Public Market. There's a change in barbecue guards there. He's going to give us that scoop, but also tell us about the public markets RNC experience and what they're looking forward to this weekend in Milwaukee. This is The Upswing presented by Horicon Bank. The future of almost everything. Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. The future of almost everything. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, Paul Schwartz from the Milwaukee Public Market joins us first via the WTMJ talk and text line. That's 855-616-1620. I want to just go back to the Apple TV point from 317 area code. It says, you are nuts. If you think companies want to go out and spend $20 billion as a loss leader, though their content is clean, it is not for a mass audience, and they need to change or die.
Mm.
Martin.
One, they didn't listen to everything I said about how Apple isn't really losing $20 billion. Two, if it's not for every audience, then why is The Morning Show, Ted Lasso, Severance winning awards and doing so well? I beg to differ, but hey, different strokes for different folks.
That's what we do here.
That's what we do. We bring both sides.
I don't question the world's largest company.
Yes, indeed. All right. I love it. So, Paul. Thanks for taking time out of your day to join us this morning.
Welcome. Thank you.
All right. So we were just talking about kind of the rise and tide lifts all boats mentality of conventions in greater Milwaukee. And I couldn't help but see last week some people sharing photos of places around town like, hey, look at this venue. It's empty. No one's coming here. And some of those photos were of the public market. How do you deal with social buzz like that, and how do you coordinate staffing and promotions around convention and events, especially for such a marquee destination like the public market is?
Yeah, so there's multiple ways to answer that question. So when you take a photo at 6 o'clock on a Monday anywhere in the city, there's questionable whether or not it's going to be a massive amount of people, right?
Right.
That said, what we noticed in this with the RNC specifically,
People
were coming into town on Monday still. There was a log jam of people backed up on Water Street trying to get into the security zone. You had people who were working remotely that week. The balancing act of actually having a lot of people come into town, I just think was sequenced in a way in which if there was a perception that it was somehow going to be gangbusters day one, I didn't have that perception and I didn't have that anticipation.
Right.
Regardless of what the short-term economic gain or loss or whatever you want to compare 3 days worth of economic value, the ripple effect of having tens of thousands of new eyeballs in and around this city, I think, is the other North Star, the main North Star that we go towards.
Yeah.
You could have a monsoon of rain and have a few slow days in the market or in anywhere.
Right.
But having thousands of credentialed media in town, thousands of new people. I mean, the vast majority of the people that I talk to in the market had either never been to Milwaukee before or hadn't been there in 20 or 30 years. So what is that value? It's tough to quantify, but at the same time, our message to everyone, including our businesses, our stakeholders, were put your best foot forward. If thousands of people are going to be writing a story about Milwaukee, let's give them the best quality of product to write about. Yeah, and so that's what we did.
Yeah.
And many of those visitors coming in saying, whoa, I had already seen on USA Today that the Milwaukee Public Market's the number one.
There you go. Thanks for reminding everybody, Jeff.
In the country, right?
Yeah. So, the world.
Yeah. Which I can verify as someone who's been to all 50 states and almost every major city. Milwaukee Public Market is definitely.
Martin fact-checked it.
Thanks, man.
And he's not crazy.
Yeah. But it was a great yeah. opportunity to showcase the city. Also for us to understand the dynamics of hosting a large type of convention or any sort of conference. You look for the strong points in anything. New faces into Milwaukee is always something I think all of us want, right?
Yeah, right on.
If you're going to grow the city, if you're going to give it more exposure, have more economic impact down here, it needs new people to be exposed to it.
What is something you learned or you might do different if another large convention like the RNC or something came into town that you would use to prepare the market for sort of that foot traffic and the eyeballs and all of that?
The only thing that we've done, and we're having a series of kind of follow-up meetings, but the only thing that we might have done differently is program differently. Mm. So one of the things we'll be talking about, too, is our concert series, Under the Freeway. We'd stepped away from that because we weren't sure from a security perimeter how it was going to be impacted.
Sure.
Now that we have a better understanding of what the security dynamics are, I think we would just program public events to give people an experience outside of just coming and shopping for food.
Right.
But what else can we do? A cooking class, a concert series, something else.
That wine could
be bourbon. Wine tasting. Bourbon. Alcohol. Yeah,
yeah. Of course. Evolve and grow. All right. Pat's Ribs has had a really nice impact at the Milwaukee Public Market, but they're moving on. Paul Schwartz will tell us who's moving in when we come back. This is The Upswing presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft Restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. The Sherman family, we live in the North Shore, but we need to get the kids occasionally out of the attic, get them away from the Xbox, into the $2 million game room at the Mineshaft in Hartford. It's a staple for the kids when they want to have fun. Mom and Dad can sit at the bar, have a drink, enjoy the great pizza. We also know that the kids are cool hanging out on their own up in the beautiful game room. Caller number 8 at 855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft and a friendly reminder that Thursdays, that's today, feature buy one, get one free pizza. From pizza to barbecue, the future of the Milwaukee Public Market, Paul Schwartz, the executive director, joins us. Paul, what's happening? Pat's Ribs moving out. Who's moving in?
So we have a great family-owned barbecue establishment called David Allen Allen's, which happens a flagship location in Maguanago. We've known about this for a while, and we've been working for Pat's. Pat's has decided that essentially with the growth, they recently announced that they were expanding their sauce business into the multiple Meijer locations throughout the area. And their sauces have really kind of taken off. And so when they came into the Milwaukee market and the public market, it obviously exposes you to a lot of international and national kind of business and customers and stuff like that too. And as they saw their growth and their trajectory of life, they got to a point where they just said, we're going to retire from restaurant industry. They're not opening up any other restaurants and they're just going to exclusively do sauces. And we're happy for them. It was similar in a way. Kira's Candy did the same thing to us. Sure.
Well, and you kind of that way, the public market's really acting as an incubator. Totally. Like you were an incubator for their core business, which was the sauce. And now they can kind of move on and scale that up and continue to do what they do really, really well.
Yeah. And it's a great, I mean, the storytelling of the market is stuff that turnover is inevitable. I mean, you're going to have, it'd be great if you could say you have somebody there for 20 years, but to a certain extent, turnover is good. You want people to be introduced to new flavors and to new quality of products and things like that too. I'm really excited. This transition has happened really seamlessly. David Allen Allen's is, I'm lucky that part of my day job, I get to actually sample a lot of food. But I'm super excited about what's going to come to the table.
All right. And obviously the Pat's Ribs owners, being Oprah Winfrey's niece, will continue to have that support and probably even more support to scale
the sauce business in ways on her platforms that, you know, they need.
Right. And we, you know, we obviously recently had a visit from Oprah last week. And that post went kind of viral for a while locally yeah. here. But yeah, Oprah, it was on one of Oprah's lists, the sauces from Pat's. Obviously she's the aunt of Alicia. But I think that it has a ton of value in bringing attention into the Milwaukee area, too. Again, we're talking about attention and things that you want to highlight about Milwaukee, and this has definitely been one of them with Pat.
All right. What else is new at the market coming up for the rest of the summer?
We got a great promotion coming up with The Hop and Radio Milwaukee, their hyphen station. We're going to do a performance on The Hop on August 6th. And this is all part of the Riverwalk Commons Concert Series, which is the area under the freeway across from the market that we've worked with the state of Department of Transportation to activate. Right. We put in pickleball courts. We're doing concert series and really activating this area along one of our great assets, which is the Riverwalk. And so on August 6th, people are going to be on a Hop streetcar with Evan Christian, local, amazingly talented person. And then that's going to be around 4 o'clock.
R&B. Yeah.
Flamingo guitar playing. Yeah. He's so incredibly talented. Be on with him from about 4 to 5 o'clock. And then the concert series at the public market starts around 5 for a happy hour. And then he goes on 6 o'clock at Riverwalk Commons.
All right. Perfect. You're ready for another action-packed weekend this weekend with Harley-Davidson Homecoming, German Fest, and everything else that's happening in the community.
Going to be great. Aaron Waters Show. Beer Fest, Brew Fest is
Brew
going
Fest,
up.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
You've been there a while. Thanks for all you do for this city.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Jeez. All right. I guess I got your coffee next time you come in there.
I know it.
All right. Very good. The future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, Paul Schwartz from the Milwaukee Public Market.